Welcome to our ISTE Reflections. I'm Iram.
And I'm Margaret.
And I thought we would use this format because I like learning how to do new things, and this is my first time recording a blog for you all. But also, I wanted to reflect a little better with Margaret as well as to what our experiences were at ISTE as attendees and as presenters. So, Margaret, this was the first time that you attended ISTE. What were your thoughts about the whole experience?
It was a little overwhelming.
Yeah, everyone says that. It was a little overwhelming. Even with me being there for the second time, it was overwhelming as well, but in a different way. Was there any expectations that you had coming into, and were there any surprises that you had at ISTE?
Well, I think my biggest expectations were that I would see people from our district. I don't think I really realized how big it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
even now, I can't believe how big that conference center was and how many people were there.
Were there. And even with our district, we're from Surrey School District. We had about 20 people attend our ISTE. And even with that great number of people, we ended up all doing our own things. And eventually during the social times and for dinner, we hooked up and reflected together. But in general, there was a lot of things that we did on our own. And even with our friends, our groups that we went, there was just too much to go visit that we ended up splitting up a lot throughout it.
Which was okay, because there was lots to keep me entertained and interested. So
exactly, which is a good point for people who do want to attend ISTE eventually. Don't expect and don't have pressure to be with your colleagues. Just give each other permission to wander off and attend sessions that interest them a little more. Or if people want a break, that's a really big thing too. Sometimes you just want to go back to your hotel and take a nap for a little while.
That's a good point.
Yeah. We needed to take a lot of naps because you are going right from, you know, sometimes 6 o'clock all the way until 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's just nonstop, nonstop walking, nonstop talking, nonstop inputting of all of this stuff. Anyways, so as an attendee, like I said, when I first went last year, I was really overwhelmed. And the big thing that I said to everyone coming into this year was, do not overschedule yourself because things always change last minute. Sometimes you just don't feel like going to a certain session, or sometimes you run into somebody and you get to know them really well and then find out that they're doing a session and you want to attend their session. So, but the thing is, the second time I attended, I still overscheduled myself and I overscheduled Margaret as well. And I don't know, did we really follow our schedule?
I think we probably followed our schedule for the first event of each day.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good thing to say. Yeah, have one event that you're going to go to at the beginning of the day just to get you out of bed because you're so tired, you just want to sleep in. But when you have something at 8 o'clock to go to or 8:30 to go to, you're up and running so that you won't miss it.
Although we never made the 6:30 coffee.
No, we wanted to go to the coffee edu, but we just never made it. We really wanted to. We almost did one day. But didn't quite make it.
And that's okay.
Yeah. So overscheduling was a really big thing. And sometimes when you overschedule, you start to feel really bad that you didn't attend some of the sessions. But you just have to, you know, visit the tweets and the hashtag streams. And then some of the sessions are also recorded. So you don't have to worry about missing too much. Or send one friend to one and you can go to another and then reflect on the sessions together. Now, is there anything else you want to say about attending?
That's a good question. I think one thing that saved us is that you had booked a hotel really close to the conference center.
Yeah, it was right across the street. And it can be expensive, but if you book right away when the hotel blocks are pushed out, you'll get a better deal. And when you have more people in a room, if you can squeeze four people in a cot, you can save some money that way. It was really nice to be right across the street from the hotel. Last year, we were a couple blocks away, and it was quite, I think that's why our day started later as well, because we did not want to wake up early to make the walk down to the convention center. This time we just basically rolled out of bed and rolled across the street. And there we went. And there we were. And also, if we wanted to drop things off or, you know, some of the swag that you collect as well, you can just drop it off at the hotel and not have to carry it around everywhere with you. So, yeah, get on the hotel really, really quickly.
That was a really important thing. Really important. Another thing that I kind of did, and I think you did as well, is sort of picked a theme to go with. Sort of my theme was looking at all the makerspace activities. And so it became almost a conference in a conference for me.
Exactly. And you can do so many different kinds of themes when you go to ISTE. And when you focus on a theme, you get to meet people that are related to that theme who you will see at all of those sessions as well.
Like Virtual K and Chris. Like
Virtual K and Chris. So I decided to focus on two areas, makerspace and gaming. And I got to meet so many cool people related in that area that I've never heard about before. And going to ISTE introduced me to those people and to what they do. It's amazing stuff that's happening out there right now. And I had no idea. And if it wasn't for ISTE, I wouldn't have known for sure. So that's a good idea. Think of themes that you want to approach.
Yeah. And I like some of those shorter sessions, like the Ignites, like where Karen Learnman was speaking and the other people at the very beginning, because those were short and sweet. And it sort of exposed me to different things that people were interested in and presenting on that I might not have even known about or thought of going to.
And the snapshots were really good too. Quick 30-minute snapshot of something. And we did a presentation with a snapshot too. And I really like that format as well. Just a quick little thing. Another thing I loved that I did this time that I didn't do last time was the playgrounds.
Oh, I loved the playgrounds.
There were so many people, so many different things going on in that playground. So if you want to go around and get quick little snapshots, basically, of what people are doing and cool ideas, the playground and hands-on activities as well.
And not intimidating.
And not intimidating. Just walk around and check it out at your own pace. There was a lot going on. And there was a few playgrounds being offered.
I think there's three.
Yeah. And I think I was able to participate in two of them this year, which was fabulous. Next year, I wish when I go to ISTE, I'm going to participate more in the poster sessions as well. We didn't get to do that this year. We got to present at a poster session, but we didn't get to actually visit the posters. And that's another quick way to get a lot of stuff done. I get really antsy when I sit in a session for too long. I'm worried about what else am I missing out there. So I can't imagine, I know it will work with some people, but I can't imagine sitting in a 4-hour workshop, because some of them were like that, some of the paid ones, where you had to stay, you know, for 4 hours and learn something. Some people are more geared towards that, but I go to ISTE to get as much as I can.
I agree with you. If I wanted to go to an all-day session, I would go to a workshop as an all-day session, not necessarily this conference.
So even 50 minutes, sometimes I got fidgety feet and I wanted to get up and go, which you can do, which is the other great thing about ISTE. It's no big deal for you to stand up and just leave. If it's not working out, if it's not going the way you want it to go, or if you're just getting too tired, like at times, you know, I felt myself nodding, literally nodding off because I was so tired. Just get up and leave and take a breather. It's okay to be that way, to do that. And that's what I love about ISTE. There's so many options, so many types of Pro D, so many different themes. It's a well worthwhile conference to go to.
And even the option of just connecting with people. I mean, with the PLN on Twitter that we're involved in, I met a lot of people in person that I've been communicating with for the last couple of years. And that was really cool too. Mm-hmm. That was really valuable Pro D for me as well.
And even some people schedule things where they will meet people in person or go out for dinner or meet for coffee or a hug. But we ran into so many people just walking around. Oh my God, you're so-and-so, or you're, you know, or even like companies like Newzella, who we love. We ran into the people running Newzella. We ran into Fresh Grade people, like just people walking around wearing their t-shirts. I think
we scared the rep from Newzella.
Scared them too.
We were a little too excited.
We got some t-shirts out of that one too. But it doesn't have to be all scheduled either. It could just be informal. And then sometimes people were just posting stuff on Twitter like, hey, does anyone want to talk further about this meet in this area, and bam, they had their own little group going.
Exactly.
So there's so many options. And this is the other thing too, everyone thinks it is a tech conference, but it doesn't have to be a tech conference. It doesn't have to be about things that make you feel uncomfortable. It's not all cutting edge stuff.
It's no,
stuff
it's what right... people are doing in their real classrooms. Yeah.
And it's all from the beginners all the way until the, you know, high stuff, you know, the stuff, the cutting edge things as well. But it's, there's something for everyone. Definitely. At ISTE for sure. Now, as presenters this year, because it was my second year, I thought it would be really cool to present and try it out. And I didn't expect to get chosen to present. I really didn't. I thought I'd just throw it in there and see what happens, because we were doing some exciting things at our school that I thought some other people might be interested in. So we put in 4 applications, I think it was, and 3 ended up getting chosen to our surprise, which was very, very exciting. So Margaret and I were presented, were chosen to do a snapshot session about our makerspace in an inner city school. We also were chosen to do a Minecraft tutorial, so teaching people how to play Minecraft on the iPads. And we also got chosen to do a poster session. And the poster session one was the last one that got chosen. I'm guessing that somebody backed out, and so we were on the wait list for that one, and it was a last minute sort of thing. And when we got the approval for that one, I didn't really want to do it. I honestly thought that the poster session would be a lot of work, and it would end up being just Margaret and I sitting there chatting with each other.
I think we both wavered on that one. We sort of thought, eh.
And honestly, I think that was my favorite one.
Yeah, I think that's what I would apply to present again, actually. Again.
I didn't realize how, I don't know, maybe it was the topic that we had, but from 8:30 until 11 o'clock, that's what it was, nonstop listening. People were very excited to learn about makerspace. We just had a huge crowd of people that just continually came up to us and wanted to chat, which was wonderful because we got to meet so many cool people and all the cool things that other people are doing in there. It wasn't just people asking questions. It was people also sharing, hey, have you thought about this? Or this is what we're doing at our school as well. It also pushed our thinking about makerspace as well. So Margaret, did you want to share anything?
Well, I thought it was really interesting. This man came up, and I didn't know who he was, started chatting with me, and he saw that we had the Invent to Learn book by Stegar Martinez on the table, and he picked it up and he goes, oh, this is a great book. And I thought, yeah, it is a great book. And we started chatting. He goes, actually, I'm in this book. And he opened it up, and there was a paragraph talking about what he'd been doing with his makerspace. So it was amazing that how many kind of big name people were there. And they were just, they're just people. They're just teachers and educators and administration. And they were willing to come out and share and talk about what they're doing as well. And exactly. Really encouraging.
And even, the more I stood there listening to all these people coming and having conversations with them, the more it started solidifying my view towards makerspace as well. And because we were getting a lot of questions about assessment. Mm-hmm. We were getting a lot of questions about space and time. And it was really becoming clear to me how restricted it is in the U.S., especially with Common Core and with a lot of the cutbacks that are happening. So big questions were being asked of us, like, how did you afford to buy all of this stuff? So we started talking more about the low-tech options and the free options. And then another question was, how do you assess? And that was a really big one. I didn't really want to answer that question because I know that assessment equals importance, and assessment equals we have to do this for some people, for some schools.
But also it shows that people think makerspace is a packaged program. This is something you do in and of itself. It's mm-hmm. not. It's something you incorporate. So exactly. The sort of the pedagogy and the philosophy behind it is something that people need to learn about.
So we started honing our ideas just through that poster session.
It was perfect practice.
It was perfect practice for that snapshot session in the end. And when we got that final question of how do you assess it again? I just wanted to scream, and I almost did. And I thought, okay, I have some time to think about this because our moderator told us you're going to be asked about assessment because that's the big question that's coming through the message boards. And I thought, okay, how do we assess it? So I was trying to figure out a way to appease people. And I thought to myself, no, this shouldn't be assessed. That's my stance on it. Makerspace stuff should not be assessed. It should just be a place where people have the freedom to learn and play. Just like you do not, and I said this, you do not assess people on how they learn to walk, how they learn to talk. They just learn through play. So it was a really important thing for me to say, I think, and I'm glad that I ended up saying that. But I do feel for a lot of those schools and a lot of those teachers who are under so much constraint right now with all of the stuff that's going on down south.
I agree fully.
But yeah, this was all because of the post-recession.
The post-recession, right? Was great. And I think also it really brought home to me that what people need to know more about is sort of the ideas behind bringing makerspace ideas into your classroom, and that it's not a new idea. Everyone is doing this and has been for many, many years. Exactly. It's the hands-on learning that we're all pushing to. But while you don't necessarily need to assess it in kind of the traditional sense that we think of, you can look at milestones. Like when kids are learning to walk, you talk about when they learn to crawl, you turn on when they cruised around the furniture. And in makerspace, you can find points of curriculum in it, like kids presenting things. That's a language arts curriculum. Children talking about what they've done, that's all language arts. People writing about it. If the kids are learning about circuitry, you can learn through makerspace where they are in these things. It's not like it's separated from assessment, but makerspace in and of itself, you're not going to assess the fact that they're making things.
Exactly. There are opportunities for assessment for later things that happen, but not what's actually happening in the
makerspace. Yeah, makerspace is not a curriculum subject. Makerspace is a philosophy.
Exactly. And then the other thing is that people were looking for kits and things to just basically buy and put in their makerspace. And it's so not that. Another thing that we learned from attending one of the makerspace sessions, just on a whim, we just ran to it, and one of the attendees stood up and said that, which was really huge, that he's afraid that makerspaces will end up becoming like our computer labs, where it's just a one-stop shop that people go to learn the computer skills and then leave it in the computer room and go back to their classes. And that started getting me thinking about that too, that idea of makerspaces can't just exist on their own. It is a philosophy that needs to be brought into the classroom.
Yeah, it's not a place. Maybe the name makerspace isn't that great because people think it's a physical space. And it's not. It's sort of it's a headspace, as it were.
It's a headspace. And I saw a quote on Twitter from somebody the other day too, the best makerspace is between your ears.
That's a good one.
It's really, really good. The best makerspace is between your ears. I think Venspired ended up doing a graphic for that one as well, which is perfect. Yeah, so a lot of people get their idea of setting up a makerspace, they think is such a huge thing for them. And I think we helped a lot of people and brought them down a notch and to think, I already do this.
Exactly.
And that was the main point, I think, that ended up coming out. Like, we're all makers. We all love to make things. And I think I'm going to do that with my staff. That's one big takeaway that I got from ISTE, is I'm going to go to my staff this year and just have everyone recognize that for themselves about what do they like making on their own at home and bring that into the classroom.
Good point. Mm-hmm. I think for myself, the one big takeaway is that people need to hear that. And if we're able to present in a way that's accessible and makes people realize you can do these things. This is not something that some, you know, famous name person is doing that seems so unattainable. No, these are things that we can do. And that a lot of ISTE was about that.
Yeah.
That these are things we can do and you can do and the and person next regular, door can do.
We're just regular people. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, when we first applied to present, you know, you always go through that self-doubt of why would anyone want to listen to us? Why would we want to? But, you know, there's always somebody that's needing that message. And like I said before, I think we helped a lot of people. And it shocked me at how many people were just starting on this journey of makerspace. And starting this journey with Minecraft. You know, Minecraft has been out for a very long time. There were so many teachers in that session that had never touched, you know, have never tried Minecraft, had never moved it, had no idea how to even move forward.
But I was really happy that they were interested in these subjects, exactly. that they're recognizing that these are valuable subjects. These are things that kids are interested in, and Minecraft and making and crafting things and coding. And so many people were just clamoring to learn more.
Right. And so that says a lot for ISTE as well, that they need to have a wide variety. They still, and I think they do a very good job.
They do a really good job.
Right from the beginners all the way to the masters. There is something for everyone at ISTE for sure. And we were able to provide a lot of those beginner teachers with something to chew on and try when they go back to school. And vice versa, those teachers gave us a lot to chew on as well, and to forward our practice and think about how we need to promote this a little more and promote our values towards makerspace as well. Because quickly, as in other worlds, corporations can get involved and packages can get involved. And it's a good marketing tool for a lot of people. And we need to just make people aware of that before they delve into the whole makerspace idea.
Yeah, I think ISTE was really good at sort of making people realize, and I think I've already said this, you can do this. You don't have to buy a big packaged kit from a corporation. You don't have to be a super coder. You don't have to be, you don't have to be an expert. You just have to try and venture in, get your feet wet.
Yeah. And there's so many people that are in the same boat as you. So many people. And that goes for all areas. Like you said, coding or web design or robotics. Making movies, robotics, so many different areas that you can just go in to learn how to do that stuff, which is so fabulous. Which goes to say, I ended up running into a lady last year, my first ISTE, and we were standing in line for something, and I asked her, so how many times have you attended ISTE? And she said 8 times. And after that moment, I thought, oh my God, how can anyone come to a conference that many times? I've attended 2 now and I'm on to 3, and I could see the appeal of ISTE. I really can. Like I said, there's so many options and it really works for me.
And it'll be something new every time.
And it will be new every time. And you can decide what theme you want to do, or even who you are deciding to go with, you know, who you choose to reflect with afterwards. It's always different. So as long as I can afford to, and as long as I can with my schedule, I am going to try to attend ISTE. And I think people need to realize that it is overwhelming, but it's not like a typical large conference where you have speakers speaking at you for hours on end. You know, you don't go to a lecture for 2 hours or 3 hours. You can go to, like we said, we described it all at the beginning, all the different sessions that you can attend, and there's so many different options. So it's not like a typical large conference.
But if you wanted it to be, you could go and just be lectured at. That, exactly. If that's what makes you happy, that's
an option too. That is. But often I think big conferences get a bad name for being that way. And just because it's a large conference doesn't mean that it's not that way. And just because it's a large conference doesn't mean that it's impersonal as well. It is so personal. So many connections, so much hugging, so many tears, so much laughter. A wonderful, wonderful conference to go to.
Yeah, it was a really great experience, both as an attendee and presenting.
Thanks, Margaret. That was really good. And I might blog a little more about it later with some other themes, but I think that I hope that gives you an idea about what ISTE was about, and think about attending next year and even applying to present for next year.
Think about presenting, because it was actually surprisingly unintimidating.
Exactly. And like we said, there's always someone that wants to hear your story. There's always someone that's at the right place in their career to need the story that you have to tell. Thank you.
Thank you.